It's Monday, the 21st of March, 2016. Happy birthday to Mike Dunleavy Sr. Red Rock Fantasy Basketball Monster Show brought to you by Moneyball.com.au and Darkwing 30. My name is Josh Lloyd, and if you want to be a sponsor of the podcast like Darkwing 30, all you need to do is leave a review on iTunes. A few of those came in overnight, so thank you very much to those guys, and thank you to everyone who has done it this season. It has been a fantastic effort from all of the Red Rock listeners. Of course, Moneyball has been with us all through the season as well, Australia's best daily fantasy sports site. So if you're in Australia or if you're in New Zealand, make sure you're checking out Moneyball, because there's lots of prizes on offer and lots of good contests out there as well. You can obviously find this podcast on iTunes and all podcast sites, Stitcher, TuneIn. Obviously, it's on Blog Talk Radio as well. But if you're watching it on YouTube, which you can do live as well, and you want to interact with the show, tweet at me at redrock_bball. You can see the Twitter handle on the screen below my face right now, and you can interact as the show is going on if you are watching. We have got a lot to get to. Some huge injury news obviously happening on Sunday with Anthony Davis, which we'll talk about soon. We've got the games from Sunday to review. We've got the games from Monday to preview. Hopefully you guys are still listening and not everyone's been eliminated out of their playoffs. I know some people would have. Also, a big shout out to everyone in the Red Rock Listener League final matchups, and to Mark Roberts and Matt Smith, who are contesting the Red Rock Dynasty League final this week. So big shout outs. Also the shout outs to the guys in the Red Rock Salary Cap League. It's Mark Roberts is in that one as well, dominating the Red Rock Dynasty formats. Mark Roberts is in that one. He's taking on David, who's a Hopposaurus on Twitter. So some nice matchups in those ones, and I'll be announcing all the winners of the Red Rock Listener Leagues on the podcast in the next couple of weeks when those ones finish. Got lots to get to. I'm talking shit.
Let's get to it.
Cool. On Sunday, on Instagram, we're looking at Chris Paul. How many combined points, assists, and steals that CP3 would get? The total was 41, and no one guessed 41, so unfortunately no shout-outs there. On Facebook, we're looking at DeMarcus Cousins, and we're going for points, rebounds, steals, and blocks. The total was 47, and John Murphy got that correct. He guessed 47, so congratulations, John. You get it correct. On Monday, on Instagram, if you're looking to follow me on Instagram, it's redrock_bball. We're looking at Jan Mahinmi. How many combined points, rebounds, and blocks for Jan? And on Facebook, it's Jim Butler. How many combined points, rebounds, assists, and steals? So leave your guess on there, tag your friends, and help the podcast grow. It's awesome when the podcast grows. Awesome for me, and I reckon it's awesome for you guys as well. You know what? Maybe some of you don't think it's awesome. I think it is, because it helps the podcast get more resources. It helps things become better, smoother, more content, all that sort of stuff happens. The bigger the show grows. Let's get into the monstrous line of the night. And they had a few guys to choose from the Dallas Mavericks. I went with the one and only Darren Williams. He of the bad tattoos. He of the formerly horrific hair. And if you want to laugh, please just go and Google Darren Williams hair, and you can go and see some great attempts at covering up baldness. He's embraced the baldness now, which is totally fine, and he moves up a lot of standings in my book just from embracing that baldness. The next thing's got to go is his Panther tattoo. It is horrible. It is one of the worst tattoos you will see in the NBA, but it doesn't detract from his basketballing abilities, obviously, which had been struggling before this season, and he was a massive bargain to me in drafts. I drafted him, and I am very, very, very far from a big Darren Williams fan. He, I think last season on the podcast, I had a list of the top five punchable heads in the NBA, and he was number one. I am not a fan of Darren Williams, but he's definitely was underrated coming into drafts this year. No one really gave him much credit at all, and I can sort of understand why. Not really, because I drafted him in every league, so I thought, yeah, he's going way too late. And he's repaid that faith, I think, this year. He's had a few lean stretches, but this was massive in this overtime victory against Portland. 31 points, including 4 triples, 3 rebounds, 16 assists, 3 steals, and 11 of 18 shooting. He hit all 5 of his free throws. And he's a top 100 player this year. He's a top 80 player this season. And I think you could have gotten him after pick 80 in a lot of drafts this year. And he has definitely repaid some of that faith you put in him. A lot of people, he was just completely do not draft this guy. Injuries, he's useless, he's finished, he's never going to play. He's played 61 games. He's a massive chance to go over 70 games here. And you know, 14 points, 1.5 threes, almost 6 assists, a steal, 87% from the line. They're pretty good numbers, and they're definitely very useful numbers. So Darren Williams is the monstrous line of the night. The waiver wire line of the night and the young gun of the night is the same player. It comes from the same team, and it is Salah Mejri of the Dallas Mavericks, who played 33 minutes. He had 13 points. He had 14 rebounds. He had an assist. He had a steal. He had 6 blocks. This was, to say that it came out of the blue, I think is a bit of an understatement. We could not have anticipated that Mejri was going to play these sort of minutes. He hasn't done it really at all this season. He's only played 23 games this season. We've seen a couple of stretches earlier on when Zaza Pachulia was injured and JaVale McGee was injured, even though McGee's not in the rotation at all anymore, that Mejri would come in, he'd put up some big numbers. But this came out of nowhere. He'd played, I'm just going to look up his game logs now. He'd played 1 minute in the last game. He was a DNP CD for the 4 previous, 6 minutes the game before that, 1 minute the game before that. The last time he got over 10 minutes in playing time was a victory over the Philadelphia 76ers on the 21st of February. He has he had one big game at the start of 2016 on the 24th, where he went 10 and 11 with 3 blocks in 29 minutes. When he gets minutes, he can produce. But it's a big but. When is he going to get minutes? Does this mean that he is going to get minutes moving forward? I would be shocked. I definitely wouldn't be locking him into a weekly lineup. But if you're desperate for rebounds, if you're desperate for blocks, Zaza Pachulia is clearly out of the picture. Yeah, he is just being minimalized, marginalized, however you want to phrase it. He's not playing. David Lee was his general sucky self. Not Dallas David Lee, which has been superhuman David Lee. He was terrible. And that's fine, because it's really who David Lee is at this point in his career. Does this mean that Mejri gets more minutes moving forward? I wouldn't put my money on it. I wouldn't hate adding him in a 14-team league and just seeing. Maybe he plays 25 minutes down the stretch here. Maybe he plays as someone who's actually able to defend shots and protect the rim, because we know Dirk can't do it. We know Zaza can't do it. We know David Lee can't do it. Maybe they're looking for that rim protector. But I think he's too much of a liability in his playing style. He's not good enough to play big minutes on a regular basis. So if you're going to add him into a weekly lineup, I think you're going to really, really struggle, because he will probably play no minutes or 2 minutes or 3 minutes. But there is a chance that he gets 20-minute run and is able to produce. As we've seen in a lot of games where he's played 20 minutes, he's been a close to double-double guy. He gets you multiple blocks, and that can be really useful. So he's a name to watch for streaming. If you want to add for blocks, he's not going to be the best stream option for blocks. That title is probably going to go to John Henson. But he is going to be someone that we really need to keep our eye on moving forward. So Salah Mejri is your waiver wire line of the night and the young gun of the night. The dud of the night. Greg Monroe. 22 minutes for Monroe. No fouls. 8 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 block. Not the greatest night for Monroe. And Jason Kidd admitted his error in this game, because the Bucks had zero offense going. And instead, he went with a front court tandem of John Henson and Miles Plumlee. So when you're not getting any offense, and I say this a lot of times on the podcast, because I feel like defense is important. Offense is also important. But we hear so many narratives. This guy sucks on defense. We can't play him because he sucks on defense. He sucks on defense. What about the guys who suck on offense? It's equally as important. And when you play Plumlee and Henson together for big chunks of the game, and play both of them more minutes than Monroe, your offense will struggle. Now, Monroe has his limitations. He doesn't stretch the floor. He's not a good defender. We know all these things. But his offensive ability does have value. And Kidd admitted as such, he should have gotten Monroe in more and played him more in a game where they were struggling to score. And he could have made the difference. Now, he has had such a massive downswing over the second half of the season. He's ranked over the last 2 weeks 132nd. He is 86th over the last month. Is he droppable? At this point in the season, and this is going to go for most players, almost anybody is droppable. If Greg Monroe is having a stinking stretch where he's playing 25 minutes a game and not doing anything, and you can stream guys off, and you've got the ability to add matchups, and he's, you know, his schedule's not suiting the way that your team plays out for the week, sure, he's droppable. He's not lighting the world on fire by any stretch. Now, he was a top 30 guy to start the season. He clearly is not that anymore. He's ranked 50th on the year and in an 86th over the last month. So a big drop-off in his play, which has coincided to that move to the bench and then back to the starting lineup. But it's mainly just a reduction in minutes and a change in playing style for the Bucks. He is definitely droppable, assuming that everything else makes sense. Who you're adding makes sense. The stats you need make sense. The way your lineup is structured on certain days, does that make sense? And by that, I mean, is Monroe playing on days when you've got people on your bench who can easily fill in for him? Or is he playing on days where your team has only got five active players? Because then that's not a great move. But if he's on playing on, say, Wednesday, and your team's got a full roster Wednesday, and you go, you know what, Monroe's been the worst of these players, he'd probably be sitting on my bench anyway. Move him out. Get rid of him. Get an extra game Monday. Get an extra game Tuesday. Get an extra game Thursday. And that will definitely give you more value than what you're getting for Greg Monroe. And this goes for so many different players we're going to talk about throughout the show. It really depends on your team. And you might be in your final matchup this week. And really, this week or next week, you should be playing the championship round, because if you go any later, it just is not fun whatsoever. And this, I think that this is the week that we're playing the final matchup in the Red Rock Dynasty League. Is a 1 week matchup this week. The Listener Leagues is a 2 week matchup starting this week. These are the ideal weeks to play those playoff games, because you go any further into April and it is not going to be pretty. So lots of guys become droppable that you wouldn't have considered droppable. We're not looking for long term value. We're looking for what is going to happen now. And guys who get injured and miss one or two games, and Nick Vucevic, he's droppable, because we don't know when he's going to play. When's he going to come back? He might come back during the week, but he might miss two games, and that's not going to be good enough. So lots of these guys are going to become droppable at this point. When you're down to the last two in your league, you need to make those moves. And remember, if you're down to the last two in your league and you drop players, no one's going to be rushing to grab them. It's going to be you and your opponent. So if he grabs them and they don't play, that's a bonus for you. If not, and if they sit on the waiver wire, then you've only got two people to compete with. So it's not like you're going to drop him and someone is definitely going to grab him. I'm in leagues where, you know, Jay Crowder's been dropped and no one picks him up because they can't afford to at this point. And then if you make the ad at the right time, say on a Wednesday when you've already got a full roster, and then maybe something comes back for the Thursday, that makes more sense. But there's not going to be 10 other teams, 11 other teams competing to pick up these guys that you dropped to the waiver wire. That's it. Let's look at the perfect DFS lineup for the main slate of games on FanDuel. At point guard, Chrissy Paul, 57.7, and Isaiah Thomas at 46.2. The Celtics guys, I had a real feeling they were going to put up big numbers against the Sixers. They were desperate for a victory, and they got it. Avery Bradley, another guy who was interested in yesterday, 39.6, and JJ Redick put up 28.9. So I think I touched on all those guys on yesterday's podcast. Also, big shout out to one of the listeners of this podcast. I don't want to say his name or Twitter handle or anything like that, but he won big money on one of the DFS sites in the States today. So congratulations, you know who you are. A massive effort to take down that sort of, didn't win the whole thing, but placed very highly and took home a very, very nice chunk of money. So congratulations to you. Small forwards, Evan Turner, another Celtic, really beating up on the Sixers, 35.8. Gordie Haywood at 29. Power forwards, Amir Johnson, another Celtic. Now, Johnson's a guy we're going to talk about a bit later, but he is really trending up in his production, and he has always been a good player and always been able to produce, but he has just not seen any minutes under Brad Stevens recently until about the last three games, and he is definitely trending up. 30.6 for him. Carl Landry, if you put Carl Landry in, I don't know what you were smoking. I don't know how that would have worked out. He played like 10 minutes the game before. He had a massive one here, had 35.6. And at center, Boogie at 59. He was the no-brainer at center to me. He was expensive, but if anyone was going to exceed $11,000, it was going to be DeMarcus Cousins. That lineup would have netted you 362.4 points. It is now time for a word from one of our sponsors, our main sponsor for today, and that is SeatGeek. Have you ever been frustrated trying to buy your tickets online? Most sites make it complicated, and they all try to sneak in huge fees at checkout. That's why you need to try SeatGeek. They've made it easier than ever to buy and sell sports and concert tickets. It's a great place to go. I'm thinking about heading across to the States in the middle of this year and looking to probably attend Summer League again. Also looking to see if I can get any tickets for any WWE Raw tapings. And I went on to SeatGeek to see that, and there were some interesting prices over there. And I can check which ones are good, what's a bad price. You know what SeatGeek is. It's the best way to buy tickets. It gives you value. It's taken all the work and hassle out of shopping for tickets. They pull all the tickets available on other sites into one place, so you save time and never miss a deal. You can even set alerts for upcoming events, and SeatGeek will let you know if ticket prices fall. Even better, every ticket on SeatGeek is ranked based on value, so you can immediately find underpriced seats. And before you buy, you can use SeatGeek's detailed maps to see the view from your seat. Best of all, SeatGeek is always honest and upfront about the price. Unlike StubHub, they show you the full ticket price from start to finish and never try to trick you with huge fees on the checkout page. My listeners get a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. To get your $20 rebate on tickets, download the free SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab and click add a promo code. Enter the promo code REDROCK, which is one word. SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. Download the free SeatGeek app and enter promo code REDROCK today. It's free to do. And if you do decide to buy a ticket, you get $20 back. So I don't think it can be any easier than doing that. And it's a great way to support the podcast as well by using that promo code REDROCK. I'm going to bring up the box scores now onto the screen for you guys watching on the video. You can see the box scores as I put them up there. And then we're going to go through these games and break them down in a little bit of extra detail. Here we go. The box scores are up. Let's bring them up on my end. All right, the first game that we're going to look at is the Portland Trailblazers and the Dallas Mavericks. Some huge lines all around in this one. Alan Crabb exploding for 24 points. He had 6 triples and 5 rebounds. It's a career high in threes for Crabb. Super efficient, but he offered no assists, no steals, and no blocks. This is great if you owned Crabb, but do not buy into it and think, ooh, Alan Crabb, big scorer, big three-point guy, he's going to help my team. We have seen nothing from him over the last month, maybe, to suggest that this is going to be something that's going to be commonplace. He is a guy who relies on some three-point shooting to really give any value, and if it doesn't fall, much like Doug McDermott, he's not going to provide anything. So not all that interested in Alan Crabb. 6 of 10 shooting from 3 is awesome, but there are better options on your waiver wire. CJ McCollum, 22 points, 8 assists, 2 steals, 3 triples, big night, and Dame Lillard went 26, 4 and 8 with 4 threes as well. While Mace Plumlee, he is really taking advantage of Mizland being out. 14 points, 19 rebounds, 1 steal and 1 block. To me, he is a must-own player. There is a free throw risk with him. He went 4 of 9 today. He seemed to have curtailed that somewhat, but that's going to be a risk with him. But he's a great passer. He gets steals at a high rate for a big man. Block shots, grab rebounds, scores, field goal percentage. He's been really hampered by the fact that the Blazers had run really deep with their rotation, their big men rotation, and used plenty of different people in that spot, and no one would get big minutes. But with Leonard out, that takes 20 minutes out of that rotation. So, I think that you really have to consider Plumlee at this point of the season. El-Farouq Aminu had a decent game, and by decent I mean pretty good. 12 points, including 4 triples, 5 rebounds, and 5 assists. Now, no steals and no blocks for Aminu. He is really a borderline guy to me. He's been so up and down. He'll hit threes sometimes in bunches, and he'll do nothing. He gets you steals and blocks. He's not a must-own by any stretch, but for some teams, he's going to be a real valuable player. Ed Davis, 6-7 with 2 steals and a block. A great rebound and block stream guy throughout the next couple of weeks, while Gerald Henderson scored 8 in his 25 minutes. Onto the Mavs. I've already talked Darren Williams, I've already talked Salah Mejri. Dirk Nowitzki, he was really close behind both of those guys for an award tonight. 40 points, 3 triples, 8 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, 16 of 26 shooting. He hit all 5 of his free throws. Dirk has been incredible this season. Did not expect him to be anywhere near the level that he's been at, and that's not taking nothing away from Dirk. I just thought the guy's 38 years old, 37 years old. He is, over the last 2 weeks, a top 10 fantasy player. He is averaging in that time 26 points, 7.5 rebounds, 2 threes, 1 block a game. Dirk is at 0.4 blocks per game last season, 0.6 the year before. He's at 1.1 over the last 2 weeks. He's at 0.8. He's doubled his blocks this season. He's shooting 54% from the field over the last week, 2 weeks, 89% from the free throw line. He has been an incredible player. He's been a top 40 category, A category player this year, higher in 9 cat leagues. It has been an incredible season from Dirk, and you could get him very, very late in drafts. When does he drop off? I don't know. I think a lot of it was confused by, at the start of the season, Rick Carlisle saying, oh, we're only going to play Dirk no more than 28 minutes a game. So that scared a lot of people off, and rightfully so. When a coach comes out and deliberately says that, you think, well, maybe there's something to it. The guy's ancient. The guy looked terrible in Eurobasket. They're going to limit him to 27 minutes a night? Fine. That's going to limit his output. But no, he's playing 31 minutes a night, and he's up to 34 minutes a night over the last week, putting in some very, very big numbers at the moment. So Dirk going big at the moment. Wes Matthews bounced back, 15 points with 5 triples, 5 rebounds and 3 assists, but he is not a must-own guy, hardly the reliable player at the moment. Well, Ray Felton played 25 minutes in Chandler Parsons' absence. He had 11 points, 2 rebounds and an assist. He'll continue to play these minutes. I thought he'd get a few more in this one, to be honest, but didn't happen. But he's not really a 12-team league guy. JJ Barea played 24. He had 9 points with 2 assists. Yeah, the minutes are there, but that production's a bit down from what he'd been doing previously, but he's still a nice assist and 3 stream. Devin Harris has done nothing all year, 5 and 3 for him. And David Lee, this is the David Lee, 2 points, 8 rebounds, 2 assists, still had a block though, and he played 16 minutes. This is the concern with David Lee, that he's not good and that he will have stinkers. There's no doubt he'll have more of these as the season progresses. He's fine to own, but by no means is he someone I have to hold on to. You would be much better streaming that position than just blindly holding on to David Lee. I mentioned Zaza earlier. He played 5 minutes and had 0 points. There is no point in owning Zaza at the moment, and his drop-off has been extreme. The Orlando Magic and the Toronto Raptors. Evan Fournier played 37 minutes, so that was great. 21 points with 3 triples, a rebound and an assist. Nice percentages. Big night. Victor Oladipo, his huge night, was good again. 21-6-3. A 3, 2 blocks. 42 minutes. Yes, we love that. Yeah, let's keep it going. Aaron Gordon played 18 minutes. What? 6 points for Gordon. 3 rebounds, 1 3, 1 steal, 2 blocks. Talked about Greg Monroe before, and it's hard to hold on to him. You have to say the same for Aaron Gordon, and not really because of his play. Now, Scott Skiles has been out there talking about Aaron Gordon, saying, you know what, he's puffed, he's fatigued, he can't play back-to-backs properly, he's only 20 years old, man, he's got to play, he's not up to it. Really? I don't know. It seems like a load of shit to me. But Gordon is ranked outside the top 130 for the last 2 weeks. He is only playing 27 minutes across that time period. He looked to be, obviously, a lock for 30 minutes for a big stretch of time. That is no longer the case. He is not a must-hold player. It really depends on who you're looking to bring in. But with the way that Skiles is treating him and this rotation, it is real tough to continue to hold on to him. Now, that line is not terrible. He had a 3, he had a steal, he had 2 blocks. He did something with it. But if Skiles is going to do this continuously, then we've got a problem. We've got a problem because Andrew Nicholson played 21 minutes. Ersan Ilyasova played 32 minutes and went 10-9. Nicholson went 15-9 with 2 blocks. When Skiles finds some piece of crap on his bench that he likes and runs big minutes with him, it is a problem, and it lasts for a couple of weeks. We saw it with Nicholson to start the season. We've seen it with Brandon Jennings at the moment, who played 31 minutes here, even with Lord Alfred back, and he played 17 minutes. It's a real issue, and it is going to be a concern down the stretch. Now, do you add Nicholson? Probably not, because he's going to be as fluctuable as what Ilyasova is and as what Gordon is. Did you add Ilyasova at 32 minutes? It's appealing. But no, because he'll probably play 18 in the next one. Most likely he'll play 20, but this is the thrill of playing for Scott Skiles, of owning a guy who plays for Scott Skiles. The thrill is also in that they lost. Lord Alfred Payton, 2-2-4 in his 17 minutes. He had a steal and a block. He needs to get 30 minutes for us to really be looking to re-add him off the waiver wire. So just watch what happened. Brandon Jennings wasn't great, 9-4-7, that's all right in 31 minutes. CJ Watson, who'd been playing 30 minutes a night previously, he did not play at all. So there's a lot of things that just get really confusing. Mario Hezonja, in a lost season, he played 5 minutes, so that's good for development there. And Jason Smith, who'd been getting 20-plus minutes most nights, he played 9. So in other words, you can't trust Scott Skiles for anything. Apart from, at this point, you can trust Fournier and Oladipo to a degree. But everyone else, it is completely up in the air. The Toronto Raptors. Jonas Valanciunas, they said he was going to be available to play, but he didn't. Fine. Bismack Biyombo started, played 36 minutes, went 12-11 with 6 blocks. He's going to be a great rebound, field goal, and block guy as long as Valanciunas remains out. But how long is that going to be? If he was available to play in this one, you'd expect we're going to see more Valanciunas moving forward. Kyle Lowry, 18-5-7 with 3 steals. DeMar DeRozan, 25-4-5 with a steal. And big Luis Scola played 32 minutes here with Patrick Patterson out. I guess he was forced into big minutes. And a big night as well, 20-8, 3 triples, an assist, and a steal. Do you go and add Luis Scola? I would be hesitant to, but in deeper leagues, I'm fine to add him. And I'd really want to look to stream him potentially if Patterson and Valanciunas miss another one. And Jason Thompson had 8-10 with 2 steals in 28 minutes, so he gets extra run too, so he's a real deep league option there too. Corey Joseph was a DNP CD in this one. Weirdly enough, DeLon Wright played 16 minutes. He had 6 points with 2 assists. Good to see him on the court, but not great for Corey Joseph fans. That is not going to impact many fantasy leagues, I wouldn't have thought. While Terrence Ross had 13 points in his 28 minutes. Normie Power played 23 minutes, 3 points only, while Jim Johnson did not play again with that foot problem, the plantar fasciitis that he is dealing with. The next game is the Boston Celtics and the Philadelphia 76ers. Avery Bradley, who'd been going through a lean streak, 20 points, 3 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 triples, 4 steals, 1 block, fantastic line. He was one of those guys, like Greg Monroe, like Aaron Gordon, that was on the precipice. Do you drop him? Do you hold him? This was always a spot where you'd hold him, but by no means is he a lock-in guy because this is exceptional circumstances. 39 minutes against the Sixers, it doesn't get any better than that. Amir Johnson went 18-8 in his 24. He had 2 blocks. He went 9 of 10 from the field, but his minutes are as volatile as anyone's. He could play 12 in the next one, but he has been getting big minutes and putting up pretty decent production in the last 3 now. So Amir Johnson in your 14-team leagues, he's definitely someone to look at, and he's going to be a stream option throughout the week. Isaiah Thomas went 26-6-8, just keeping going. And Marcus Smart actually had a pretty good game as well, which we sort of hoped he would do when Jay Crowder went down, but hadn't been able to get it done. But this is the quintessential Marcus Smart game. 15-5-5, 2 threes and 2 steals. That's what he can get you, and it's not fluky. But he can also do nothing for you. Watch your percentages with Marcus Smart. Evan Turner, 17-9-6 with 35 minutes. I think he is a guy you want to look at adding in pretty much all leagues. And Jared Sullinger, after a down game and the other one, played 36 minutes, even with Kelly Olynyk playing 20 and Amir Johnson playing 24. I guess it helps that Jonas Jerebko was out with that ankle problem and he's going to be back in the next game. Sullinger 17-13 with 2 threes and a steal. He still has to be held. And Olynyk did nothing. 4-2 in 20 minutes. He is just a watch guy at this point. Also, Terry Rozier, 4 rebounds, 4 assists in his 13 minutes. He has got that Marcus Smart rebounding assist ability of getting equal rebounds, equal assists. It's a Victor Oladipo, it's a Tyreke Evans sort of situation, where if they get minutes, they can put 5-5. And that can be really valuable. So Rezi is a guy to watch for in the future. On the Sixers, Carl Landry played 25 off the bench. He went 26-8. He offered nothing more than that. Matt Smith just tweeted in here with Andrew Nicholson playing some extra minutes because Jason Smith got into foul trouble in that Orlando game. Yes, that's true. He did get into really early foul trouble. I did neglect to mention that, but he also played that extra bit of minutes there with Aaron Gordon out. So thank you, Matt, for chiming in with that. Back to the Sixers. Carl Landry, 26-8 in 25 minutes. Really efficient as well. No other stats. Fluky. I just don't see it happening. Now, Nerlens Noel had foul trouble here, so that limited him to 24 minutes. He went 4-8-5 with 2 steals and a block. So still got your rebounds, still got your steals, still got your blocks, but not a great night. Missed all 4 of his free throws, went 2-8 from the field, and fouled out in 24 minutes. So that gave Landry the extra minutes, so don't expect that to be a common occurrence. Hollis Thompson, 18 points, 3 triples with a block. He is going to have value until Bob Cove returns, which is probably one more game. So he is definitely a 3 stream option, as is Isaiah Cannon, who only had the 1 in this game, but added 8 points, 3 rebounds, 4 assists, and a steal. He can help in assists, he can help in steals, and he's going to be a pretty nice 3-point option, all until at least Bob Cove returns. Elton Brand had a couple of blocks in his 15 minutes. Again, he got extra run with Nerlens out also. And Nick Stauskas went 12-6-3 with 2 triples in 27 minutes. And the return of Bob Cove will hurt his value also. Ish Smith, pretty decent. 14-3-8. 5-14 is not ideal, but you know what to get from Ish Smith. Well, Jeremy Grant went 11-8, had 2 blocks and obliterated your field goals, went 3 of 12, hit all 4 free throws, which is not something to expect from Jeremy moving forward. The Los Angeles Clippers and the New Orleans Pelicans, has there been a worse back-to-back road trip than the Clippers? They lost to Memphis, who literally is playing no one. And then they lost to the Pelicans, who is playing basically no one. The Pelicans were without Anthony Davis, who is now out for the season. And they were without Ryan Anderson. And they were without Eric Gordon. And they were without Tyreek Evans. And the Clippers lost. We'll start with the Clippers and then we'll talk Pelicans in a sec. Chris Paul, 24, 6 and 13, 4 steals and 3 triples. While JJ Redick had a nice night as well. 24 points with 4 triples on red hot 9 of 11 shooting. Jamal Crawford had 14, 4 and 3, so nice nights from all the backcourt guys. But just a terrible, terrible loss. And it really hurts because you just got so many stinkers in this front court here. Luke Marmute, 15 minutes for 2 points. Paul Pierce had 9 in his 20 minutes. Wes Johnson had 0 points in his 19 minutes. Jeff Green sat out with that face issue, possible concussion. They were struggling. DeAndre Jordan didn't have his best night, 12 and 9 with a block. But my boy Cole Aldridge, another 3 blocks. He is putting up blocks at a ridiculous rate. I think he's averaging over 1.5 blocks in 13 minutes in the last month. He is a tremendous stream option for blocks. I talked about John Henson being a great one before. Aldridge is right up there as well. And if he ever gets 30 minutes, it is going to be lookout time. If Jordan has to miss any time down the stretch here, which he's pretty good at that sort of thing, so I don't imagine it happens, but you need to watch out for Cole Aldridge. I can't stress this enough of how much of a contributor he can be. The Pelicans, Anthony Davis, he is out for the season. I'm sure that you saw it all over Twitter. I am sure that some of you listening contributed to it, and you wrote about it. About him being a pussy, about Anthony Davis being soft, about, you know, F him, ruin my season. What's he doing? He's a joke, he's a bum, I'm never drafting him again. A couple of things to take out of that. You're going to get Anthony Davis pretty good value next season in drafts, I think. Yes, he didn't reach 70 games. Yes, he's been shut down again. I hate the term shut down. Yes, all that stuff is true. But he's not sitting out for minor injuries. We have no idea what's happening, and you see people talk about, oh, how soft is he? He got hurt diving into the crowd. How do you know what happened to him? Oh, he got hurt setting a screen. Cool. Wes Matthews got hurt running, and then his Achilles blew out. No one touched him. He didn't even dive into a crowd. He was just running in a straight line, his Achilles blew out. Is that soft? You're soft, Wes. Your Achilles is soft. Davis has been battling and he's been playing through injuries. He's hurt himself and come back quicker to help the team, and it's cost him because he's got to have now knee surgery and shoulder surgery. Now, I'm not here defending him for everything because, yes, he gets hurt a lot. Cool. We don't call Brad Beal soft for having stress reactions in his leg or having a sore pelvis. We just say, Jesus, this guy gets injured a lot. And that's what the narrative should be on Anthony Davis. This guy gets injured a lot. But he does play through it, and that, you know, that leads to problems. He is this team. He is everything to this team, and he takes a big load on, and he has to play through it a lot of the times, and it worsens the problem, and that's what happened here. This shoulder issue is from a while ago, a long time ago. It's when he, you know, dove into the stands. It's a real problem. He's got to have surgery on it. He's got to have surgery on his knee to clean up some problems. It's a real pain in the ass for fantasy. I know it's a massive, massive pain in the ass. I did not draft Anthony Davis in any drafts this year because, A, I never had a top pick, and B, even if I had a top pick, I was taking Steph Curry. So there was no chance I was getting Anthony Davis in any league this season. So it doesn't affect me. It affects me because I'm playing against him in a championship round this week, so that's pretty good news for me. And it doesn't mean that I'm not drafting him next year. He is going to slide. You are going to get him at pick 8 or pick 9 in some places. You will get people who go, I will not take him in the first round. You will get him late. You will no chance he's going in the top 2. Pretty much no chance he's going in the top 5. You will get him late, and he will win you leagues next year. Look, he might get injured again, but I think that he will win you fantasy leagues next year because you will get him at the end of the first round, and then you'll pair him with another guy at the start of the second round, and you'll end up with maybe the second, third best player in fantasy. It's a big possibility. We know what he can do, and let's hope that he stays healthy. And the other big part of it is, let's hope his teammates stay healthy, because that's a big part of him staying healthy as well, where he doesn't have to play 40 minutes a night, which he was doing for big stretches of this season, because they had nobody else they could rely upon. Now, they might not be able to fix that next season, and that might cause more issues for him, and it is a concern, obviously. But there's a lot of talk going around about Davis. He's not a franchise player. He couldn't take this team to the playoffs. They regressed. It's all on him, man. The guy's 22. He's pretty bloody good. How many other better players are him? No, so try again. How many better players, big men, are there than him in the game? There's not many. His stock has taken a massive hit this season. Some of it justified, some of it not. But I feel that the abuse has come really unwarranted for Anthony Davis. On to the Pelicans. Ryan Anderson's the guy who gets the biggest boost without Davis, but he didn't play in this game, so it's really hard to see how they're going to run their rotations. I would love for them to play Alexei Ajinsah, because he can be a real fantasy asset. Now, he played 2 minutes here, so I don't know if that's going to be just rotation-based, or if that's going to be the rotation, or if it's going to be the fact that he's coming back from that fractured sternum, that they're easing him back in. If he plays 27 minutes, he's a must-own player to me. But at this point, it doesn't appear that way. Omer Asik played 30 minutes. He went 15 and 14. He is going to be a source of rebounds. That's it. He'll give you good field goal percentage on low attempts. He won't block shots because he doesn't block shots. He is a good defender. He's a good rim protector, but he doesn't block shots. So you'll get a 3-block game out of him, and do not expect much more than that. He won't block shots. He gets rebounds. He'll have 20 rebound games. There is no doubt about that. But he doesn't do it in every category, and you really need to pay attention to that. But for now, he's a fine guy to add. But what's going to happen is we're going to see more of the guards getting action. Jrue Holiday is going to probably be running to the ground. He'll probably get hurt as well. But Tim Frazier will get some extra run. Tone Douglas will play more. Luke Babbitt will play more. Kendrick Perkins will play more. He won't do much. Dante Cunningham played 40 minutes here and went 19 and 6 with 2 steals. He is a deep league target. He can be a sneaky big man source of threes who can get rebounds and steals, but it's really deep league stuff. I love Tim Frazier though. 17 and 7, 2 assists and 4 steals. When Norris Cole returns, which we don't know when that's going to be, there's a big chance he could miss more time. It's going to hurt Frazier. But for now, Frazier is a great add for this week, especially with New Orleans' schedule. And the same goes for Tone Douglas, who went 15, 7, and 9 here with a steal. They're going to have to run small, the Pelicans, because they just don't have talented big men. So Douglas and Frazier, they're definitely guys you want to look at. Ashik, if you really need boards, he's the guy to look at. And Luke Babbitt in a deeper sort of format. Now, Babbitt went 14 and 8 here with a 3. Jrue Holiday, 22, 2 and 8, a steal, a block, and 3 triples. He is going to be magnificent down the stretch, but you can't do anything about that now. You either own him or you don't. Alonzo G might play big minutes, but he won't do much on the stat sheet. 4 and 7 for him in 28 minutes. But Ajinsah's the guy. If we see him get to 27 minutes, he's the guy I want to pay attention to. But Elvin Gentry has shown a massive dislike of using Ajinsah and using him correctly this season. So that's not on the cards. In any situation where Kendrick Perkins is playing more than Alexei Ajinsah, you know there's a problem with the coaching. And I'll leave it at that. The next game, it is the Utah Jazz and the Milwaukee Bucks. Big win for the Jazz here after that loss the other day. And Rudy Gobert bounced back. It's always great when you're a big man and you get to play the Bucks. 12 and 14 for Gobert. 2 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks. Hit all 4 of his free throws. This is more what we anticipate. This is more what his owners would have hoped for when they drafted him. Big night from him. Gordy Hayward was back again. 18 and 4, 3 triples, 2 assists, and 2 steals. So a good night there. And Derek Favors, 12 and 9. Not his best night. He missed an opportunity here, I think. Shelvin Mack played 38 minutes, 13, 4, and 12 with a steal and a 3. There's talk now of Alec Burks maybe not coming back this season. So obviously Mack is a must-own player. He's been a must-own player for a while, just in the interim until we saw what happened with Burks. But if obviously Burks isn't coming back, you just got to hold Mack. Rod Hood had a nice all-round line, 10 and 5, but 2 threes, 2 assists, 2 steals, and 1 block, getting it done in multiple categories. And Joey Ingles back to the bench, but played 19 minutes, 12 and 3 with 4 triples. He hit all 4 shots. They were all from 3. This is an outlier. It is not going to happen all that often. Love Trail Isles, 14, 4, and 4 with 2 triples in 23 minutes. I'd love if he could get 20 minutes a night over Trevor Booker. It's not going to happen all that often, though. So just look at this and go, ooh, this is interesting. And if we see it as a trend, then that's great. Then he's a deeper 14-team league sort of guy. But if he goes back to 10 minutes a night, then that's obviously not appealing. The Bucks, Giannis Antetokounmpo, 12, 4, and 7 in 29 minutes, 2 steals and 2 blocks. And Jason Kidd has come out now and said that he just wants to experiment with lineups. And that's going to lead, and we've seen it the last few, Chris Middleton is only playing 30 minutes a night. Giannis is down in minutes as well. And that's going to lead to some of these situations. Now, it's a pain in the ass, but you can't do anything with it. It's just what's going to happen. Jabari went 19-8, a steal and a block, and Middleton had 13 points with 3 steals. Tyler Ennis played 20 minutes. He had 5, 2, and 6 with 2 steals. He's going to be a nice assist stream and a steals guy. Jared Bayless is obviously not must-own. His minutes are reduced. His role is marginalized. 7 points with a 3 and 3 assists. And Miles Plumlee played 23 minutes, went 7-2 with 3 blocks, while Johnny Henson went 8-2 with 3 blocks. Henson is a blocks guy. He is a field goal percentage guy, but he's going to give you not much more. He's great if you just really need blocks. That is going to be fantastic. And Plumlee you'd throw in as a lesser Henson, but you're not going to get 30 minutes out of Henson. He played 26 here, so that was interesting. But then Kidd said, you know, I made a mistake playing these guys too long. So does that mean he goes back to 20 minutes a night? It's possible. But he's still in 20 minutes a night, he's still a chance to block 2.5 to 3 shots. And that can be really valuable. The next game, the Sacramento Kings and the New York Knicks. It's the last game of the night. Boogie, 24 points, 20 rebounds, 1-3, 4 assists, 1 steal, 2 blocks. Can't complain with that. Darren Collison played 40 minutes, which is very enjoyable. 13-3-6 with 3 steals and 3 threes. He has to be owned. Rajon Rondo. Just a quick call out on Rajon Rondo here. 34 minutes. I was in a league with Seth Klein and in the playoffs, and it was down to the last game. And I was down 5-4, and I needed, I was down by 2 assists. I had Rondo still playing, and it was halftime, and I was down by 2 assists. And Rondo could not get me 2 assists. He had 6 assists. Where's a 14-assist game, Rondo? Where's a 20-assist game? I would have loved it. He stunk. 2-6-6 for Rondo with 2 steals, so thank you to Rajon for that. Rudy Gay, 17-4. He had 2 steals, a block, and a triple in 39 minutes. And Omri Caspi chimed in with 15-5 off the bench, but he's far from reliable. Willie Cauley-Stein was out with an illness again. That means you obviously can't hold on to him. You might stream him back once we see what happens. And Marco Bellinelli played 29 with Ben McLemore out. He went 8-3-3 in that time frame, but he is not a strong add either. Quincy Acey played 23 minutes, so that's important. 3-4 in 23 for Quincy. On to the Knicks, Carmelo Anthony out, as I sort of alluded to yesterday with a migraine. If it was a legit migraine, there was zero chance that he was playing in this game. So it appears that it was. And Robin Lopez went off, 23-20, 1 steal and 2 blocks in 38 minutes. Jose Calderon, sprained ankle. Nah, you're good. Play 33 minutes, you old bastard. 3-3-4 for Jose in a steal and a 3. He's a really nice assists guy and gives you 4 or 5 off the wire, but it's not enough to just hold. Porzingis. Yep, sorry, Steve. Porzingis. 35 minutes, 13-7, 2 assists and 2 blocks. The minutes are back. Hopefully they stick. I don't know if they will, but he's obviously not as productive under Rambis, but yeah, you keep holding him. Aaron Aflalo moved back into the starting lineup, played 31 minutes and had 6 points. This is the problem with Aaron Aflalo. And Sasha Vujicic also started. He had 0 points in his 13 minutes. Derek Williams went 11-3-2 in 22. That's a decent outing. And Langston Galloway 6-3-2. Williams becomes more of a deeper league guy, a 14-team league guy, if Mallow misses more, which he probably won't. But I love that Jerian Grant played 27 minutes here. He went 14-1-2, 2 threes, 2 steals, and a block. He is a name to watch down the stretch. Now, it doesn't appear that Rambis is going to go full youngster. He should, but he probably won't. But if they decide, you know what, Jose, you go back to 20 minutes for the last 10 games, and let's see Jerian run things at 30 minutes, he would be a very, very interesting ad who would probably hurt your field goal percentage, but he could really rack up some steals, assists, some okay rebounding, and some decent scoring. He'd be someone that you'd definitely be looking at adding. And some good news in the NBA, Karl-Anthony Early returned after having his knee shot earlier in the season. He played. He played 19 seconds, but the fact that he played is really the real success here. So congratulations to Karl-Anthony for coming back. All right, that does all the games from Sunday. I'm going to take a quick break. There's going to be another little ad from a sponsor in here. Then we're going to be back to talk DFS for Monday.
This is the part with just the guitar, while we wait on the bass and drums. I'll sing of love and you from afar. Well, here they coming now. Me and the sky are on a roll. As we hit the halftime break, the cars let you know. Can't see what I see.
On Monday, we're mainly looking at DFS stuff, but this also is going to help you in your seasonal league as we go through the matchups, work out who to sit, who to start, who to stream, all that sort of stuff. So let's have a look at that right now. The first game we're going to look at is the Denver Nuggets and the Cleveland Cavaliers. There's no spread for this one yet. We don't know if Ken Fareed is going to be playing. He's been dealing with that sore back, and there's a real talk of him missing extended time down the stretch here and having his minutes extremely limited. So he is a definite drop candidate in your standard leagues. At point guard, Kyrie Irving's at 7,100. His performance of late has not been ideal, but he's been really limited in his minutes. This is a really tasty matchup against Denver. 7,100, you're hoping Kyrie gets to 35. I don't think that's a real massive ask. I think that he is in line for a pretty decent game here, so I think he's a good tournament play. Emmanuel Mudiay has dropped to 5,800. His performances of late have been a bit down as well, but when you play Kyrie, you get a pretty good bump. So I think 5,800 to get Mudiay up to 30, not a tough one to look at here. And DJ Augustin at 46 has been on fire. He's averaging 29 across his last five, 30 across his last three. At 4,600, there is not many better low-priced point guards on the board than DJ Augustin. Shooting guard, Will Barton. The projections love him. The recent form hates him. 5,300 he is at. Not great when you're going to be facing Iman Shumpert, so I'll probably fade him. J.R. Smith at 4,000. That salary is super tempting, but he's averaging 14 points across his last five. He has got real propensity for a stinker. This is not a tough matchup, so Smith is a tournament option, but a tournament option only. Iman Shumpert started the last game. He did nothing with his start. He's at 3,500. I wouldn't be that interested in using him. And Gaz Harris at 5,400. I like Gaz a lot, as you know, but I'm not sure that I want to invest in him playing against the Cavs. Small forwards. LeBron, 9,500. He has really not been putting up big numbers lately. He's at 39 average across his last five, which is fine, but at 9,500, it's not fine. His highest score in his last five is under 42. That's also not that high. But this is a really, really tasty matchup. But the problem is it that tasty that they really smash the Nuggets? That's a risk. But I think that LeBron in a tournament is a pretty nice punt play. There are some other small forwards who you have to pay a bit for. Paul George and Kawhi Leonard are out there, and they might be better options. They might be equivalent options. But LeBron has been very much down recently. Look, his lower score is only 33. But his highest score is just 42, so it's not really enough at 9,500. Richard Jefferson was crazy in the last game, put up 28 points, but I would not be getting too excited about that. The power forwards, where are we? Kevin Love, 6,400, that salary has dropped, but it hasn't dropped low enough for me to get all that interested in Love at the moment, only averaging 25 across his last five. The minutes are reduced. I still think that he is battling some sorenesses and some minor injuries, and they're going to keep him sort of under wraps to a degree. So no interest in Love there. Darrell Arthur at 3,700, he has to be in play in a tournament. He dropped 34 in the last game with Fareed out, and if Fareed sits again, despite the horrible matchup with Cleveland, at 3,700, you just want him to get to 20, and you can easily get him to 20. 25 is not a crazy number, and 34, we saw him do that last time too, and he does have a propensity to fill it up, given the right opportunity. This is not a great spot, but it's not bad at 37. Tristan Thompson at 45, zero trust in him at the moment with the emergence of Channing Frye, and Frye's not someone I'd really be all that interested in using anyway. At center, Tim Mozgov, we don't even know if he's going to play. He might just be a DNP CD, so he's not great. 6,200 for Nikola Jokic. He put 35 up in the last game. He's an a really good player. You know, I like Jokic a lot, but this is a terrible matchup, and his inconsistency means that we don't want to use him. Joffrey Lavernier at 38, no. And Yusuf Nurkic at 39, no. These are just not good matchups against the Cavs, but you know, I don't mind throwing Lavernier or Nurkic into a tournament, and maybe it pans out, but it probably won't. So it's a real, this is my 50th lineup sort of setting, and let's throw Nurkic in there and hope he goes for 28. It's probably not going to happen. Next up, the Philadelphia 76ers and the Indiana Pacers. The Pacers are favored by 15.5, and the total is 208.5 points here. Ty Lawson is questionable for this one. We don't know if he's going to return. He's not going to impact much anyway. George Hill's at 5,500. He was brilliant in the last game, putting up 40 points. It is not a tough matchup. He's playing the Sixers. It is one of the easiest matchups on the board for point guards. He's at 5,500. That means, do you think George Hill gets 27 points? I don't know that I do, but he definitely has the ability to. So he is worth, he's definitely a tournament punt option. Isaiah Cannon at 4,100, he is worth a look as well. He just needs to hit a couple of threes, and there's 25, 26 points coming his way. And Ish Smith at 65, this is not the spot to use Ish. I don't think he's struggling to really reach that sort of value. Obviously, we're not going to be touching Ty Lawson, even if he does play. Shooting guards, Monte Ellis at 6,600 has been solid, but he's solid for a $6,000 player, not a 6,600 player. So despite the good matchup, and he could go off here, I'm not sure that I'm going to be all that interested in him. Rod Stuckey at minimum salary is not even doing enough to return that value. And Nick Stauskas at 41 has been really good, averaging 25 across the last five, 22 across the last three, but he's up and down, and this is a tough matchup. So I'm not sure that Stauskas is only a tournament option if you use him at all. Small forward Bob Cover is out for the Sixers. Paul George is at 9,200. He dropped 61 against the Thunder. He's averaging 48 across the last three. His numbers are a lot better than LeBron's recently, and he's $300 cheaper. If I'm spending on someone, it's George, who could put up a big line against the Sixers in this one. So 9,200, it feels pretty good to me, but he also can be bad. He, in his last five, he's at a 61-point game. He's at a 21-point game. And that was a game against the Hawks, I think it was, when they were absolutely destroyed. Now, they're not going to get absolutely destroyed here, but do they do the destroying? And then he rests a little bit. It's a risk when you play the Sixers. And in spending 9,200, you need him to play 35 minutes and put up big numbers. And that could be a problem. Hollis Thompson's at 4,200. And 4,200 feels like it's the right price. And that means when you're playing a matchup like Paul George, I don't want to use him. CJ Miles and Sonny Weems, not interested. Power forwards. Miles Turner is at 4,900. He had a nice 26-pointer in the last one, but really hasn't been giving us consistent numbers. You play the Sixers, it's a good opportunity for him. He's in play. He's not a must-play, but he is in play. 7,000 for Nerlens Noel. I reckon that he's fine. He had a terrible game today, 25 points in 24 minutes. But when you're getting, basically he's averaging over a point a minute, and he gets back to 33 or 34, that's 33 or 34 points, and that's fine at 7,000. So he's in play. Jeremy Grant at 5,200. He is also in play. He's averaging 27 across his last three, and that's fine at 5,200. You would expect him to play close to 30 minutes in this one and be interesting at 5,200. Lavoy Allen, probably not. Carl Landry at 4,200. 36-point performance today was brilliant, but really the expectation to do that shouldn't be very high. At center, Jan Mahinmi is at 5,000. The projections really like him here, but I'm not massively keen on him. He's averaging only 21 across his last five. He was at 4,200, 4,300. I would be much more interested in Mahinmi. Jordan Hill, not on the board for me either. The San Antonio Spurs and the Charlotte Hornets. The Spurs make it real tough to use anyone against them. So Hornets players are going to be not ideal, I wouldn't have thought. Let's start with the point guard matchup. Tone Parker's at 5,000. It's a real good matchup for him here. He only put 17 up against the Warriors, but that was not a good matchup in the end because of how low scoring it was. It's a good matchup against Curry, but this is a good opportunity for Parker. He's a tournament option only. Kemba Walker at 8,600. Yes, he's great. Yes, he's played well, but 8,600 is way too high. There is no value in using Kemba, and against the Spurs, forget it. Shooting guards. Jeremy Lin at 3,700, not getting enough even at that salary. Manu, no. Danny Green at 4,200 is actually averaging 22 across his last three, not being spectacular, but putting up okay numbers. I probably don't want to use him, though. Same with Courtney Lee, same with Troy Daniels. Small forwards, Kawhi. I do like Kawhi here. He's only at 8,700. Him and Paul George are probably the two high-priced small forwards that I do like the most. Leonard at 8,700. He got 41 against the Warriors. He's averaging 40 across his last five. You would expect that the Hornets are a good team, and they're playing at home, and you would hope that they could keep it closer. You would hope that means we get 35 minutes out of Kawhi, and that might mean 40, 45 points from him. So I think he's a really interesting play at that price. Nick Batum is 7,000 less. He's averaging more than Kawhi over the last three. He's averaging more than Kawhi over the last five. He's got a higher minimum score than Kawhi. The problem is Kawhi is going to be guarding him, and that is a real issue, because Kawhi is easily the best perimeter defender in the NBA. To me, it's not even close, and that is not the matchup you want to use for fantasy. So Batum's been great, but this is the time where you go, you know what, let someone else use him. If it pays off, it pays off, but all the odds are pointing in the other direction. Marv Williams at 6,100 really stunk in the last game. You don't want to use him against the Spurs, as good as he's been. Cody Zeller's not in play. 7,900 for LaMarcus Aldridge. I reckon he is a pretty decent option here. He's got 42 against the Warriors. He's averaging 38 across the last five. I think that he is, if you're looking to spend up on a power forward, he is not a terrible option. Dave West, Frank Kaminsky, Boris Diaw at 37. If we hear that Boris Diaw is going to start again against his former team, then sure, at 3,700, he's a great option. He had 29 against the Warriors. Pretty unlikely that happens, but it might. We never know. At center, Tim Duncan, 45. Nope. Al Jefferson at 52, probably nope as well, especially going up against the Spurs. Also, just a quick note, Boban Marjanovic has been reassigned to the D-League. If you get a chance to watch Boban play in the D-League, you are going to see some absolutely phenomenal numbers, most likely. So keep an eye on Boban's next D-League. I might announce it on the podcast when it happens. He's a D-League star. The next game, Orlando and Boston. The Celtics are favored by 8. The total is 214.5 points at point guard. Marcus Smart, he had 30 today against the Sixers. The Magic's a little bit of a harder option, not that much. 4,400 for Marcus Smart. He is a tournament punt option. Isaiah Thomas at 77, I really like here at that price. He got 46 today. He's averaging 36 across the last five. I'd be pretty confident he gets over 35 against the Magic. Brandon Jennings at 4,800, that is too high with the return of Alfred Payton. Not using Lord Alfred either. He's at 54, and CJ Watson, minimum salary, did not even play. That probably means he's going to play 30 minutes in the next game. So such is Scott Skiles' coaching, but none of those guys have any reliability whatsoever. Shooting guards. Vic Oladipo, 8,500 against the Celtics. I'm not interested. He put 35 up today in 42 minutes. He's averaging 47 across his last three, including that massive 62-point game against the Cavs. But 8,500 against Marcus Smart and Avery Bradley, no thanks. Bradley at 5,000, he was massive. 40 points against the Sixers. He'd been terrible before that, though. But at 5,000, he's a definite tournament play. Small forwards. Evan Turner. I do like Evan Turner here at 5,500. You feel that 27 points is about where he should be on most nights. He had 36 against the Sixers. That was always going to be an opportunity for him to go bigger. But against Evan Fournier and the Magic, it's not an overly tough spot. Fournier at 6,000, not really living up to it at the moment. I would rather spend the 500 less and take Evan Turner, Mario Hezonja, James Young, Cody Clark. No thanks on any of those guys. At power forward, Aaron Gordon, no chance. Now, he's going to be really under-owned, so you might throw him into a tournament, but is it 6,000? He's giving you nothing at the moment, but if he has a big game, he's going to have a big game. It's going to be a 35, a 40-pointer, and that might be interesting, but outside of a tournament, it's not. Jared Sullinger at 61, the Boston front court is like the Magic team. It's not trustworthy. 6,100 for Sullinger. He had 34, so that's really good, but that's a high salary, so I'm not going to be using him. Amir Johnson at 38, I am more interested in. He's averaging 27 across the last three in 25 minutes, so the minutes are up, the production is up. The Magic front court is not great defensively, so at 3,800, Amir Johnson is definitely in play to me. Jonas Jerebko might be back, so that might put an impact onto Johnson, but as a punt, he's worth a look. Ersan Ilyasova and Andrew Nicholson with big games today. Not sure. Look, it's great when you can play against the Celtics front court, but who's going to play? That is the problem. Now, Andy Nicholson at 3,700, he's a punt option as well. He's averaging 21 across his last three. He dropped 29 today. He could also play 0 minutes. So that is a massive risk, and it really restricts you to one of your alternate tournament lineups. At center, Kelly Olynyk, 4,200, has not got it going yet, so we'll leave him off. Dwayne Dedman, even in minutes with Vucevic out, is not worth it. And Vucevic is most likely not going to play here. I'd be shocked if he played it and it was at full health. It's an awesome option, but not when he could come back at 8,000 with that groin issue. Not going to spend it up to use him, but it's unlikely we see him anyway. Milwaukee and Detroit. The Pistons are favored by 6.5. The total is 205 points here. Greg Monroe, back home in Detroit. Let's see how he goes. We'll talk about that in a sec. Let's look at the point guards first. Reg Jackson, 6,500. Not a good opportunity for him. The point guards really struggle against the Bucks. You got to take on Giannis a lot of the time, and that's a concern. Jared Bayless, not doing anything. Tyler Ennis at 3,700 is a punt option, but he's averaging 21 across the last three. He's getting some minutes. It's a pretty desperate punt option. I don't think his ceiling's all that high, and not much else to talk about there. Shooting guards. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope has been playing sensationally. 5,600 for him. He's averaging 31 across his last five and his last three. I think that he is fine to lock in. The shooting guards have had pretty decent amount of success against the Bucks. He is a fine guy to use. Chris Middleton, 7,700. He is averaging just 30 minutes across the last three games at 18.6 points. That is terrible. The salary has dropped. We know that he can go big, but that salary was pretty high. 7,700. And against a team like the Pistons, who have been able to restrict shooting guards, probably not the right spot to use Middleton, especially if Kidd is going to continue experimenting with lineups and limiting Middleton's minutes. Jared Cunningham made his debut for the Bucks. He put up 7.7 points. I don't think that's really going to tickle our fancy. Small forwards, Giannis, 10,200. It's too high. Not using it. He's only averaging 43 across the last three, and I say only, but when you're over 10,000, you need to do more than that. He had 33 today, just not feeling it at that salary. No chance for me. Marcus Morris, 5,200. It's sort of right on value. I don't mind him as a solid cash option. I don't think his ceiling is all that high. Stan Johnson was big in the last game, 35 points. Do not believe that will happen again, though. Power forwards, Toby Harris. He's at 6,100. He's a 30-point guy. You expect 28 to 32 points most nights. And at 6,100, it's not bad for cash. And it is a really good matchup against the Bucks. He's going to face off against Jabari Parker a lot of the time. Unless Kidd runs with that Plumlee-Henson lineup, which might limit Harris's effectiveness, but I don't think that it will. He feels like a solid cash game option. John Henson at 3,600, despite his 26 minutes today, he just put up 16 DFS points. It's not great. Don't really love him as a punt option. Jabari Parker at 6,300. Yeah, he's okay, but he's dropped off a little bit as well. His minutes have dropped, and the Pistons are pretty good generally at defending power forwards. Anthony Tolliver had 25 in the last game at 3,600, which is great, but that was a really sort of unique set of circumstances. Andre Drummond, you love it playing the big men against the Bucks. He's at 7,700. Has not really returned value in a while, but now that he's at 7,700, and in this matchup, he is definitely on my radar. Miles Plumlee at 38, much like John Henson. The minutes are there, but the production doesn't translate to DFS. And 6,400 for Greg Monroe. You'd have to be pretty ballsy to use him, given how he's played lately, averaging just 21 across his last three. Does Kidd overcorrect and use Monroe more in this one, in the matchup against his former team? It is a possibility, so he's a tournament option maybe, but it's really, really, really desperation stuff. Aaron Baines was good in the last one at 3,900, but you can't put much trust in that happening all that often. He dropped 33 points in that last game. The Warriors and the Minnesota Timberwolves. The Warriors are going to be looking for revenge, you'd imagine here. 12-point favorites they are. The total is a massive 231.5. I like Rick Rubio here. He's at 6,800. Steph Curry and the Warriors generally allow point guards to put up pretty nice numbers. Rubio is already averaging 35 across his last three. So 35 again, I don't think it's an impossible task. Steph at 10,200. Rubio is a really good defensive point guard. And not saying that he can shut Steph down, but the Timberwolves have had success at slowing the fantasy production of point guards. There is a chance that Steph does not play the fourth quarter in this one because they're up big. So at 10,200, do you think Steph can play enough minutes? He is a tournament option, but that is it. I would not trust him in a cash game. Not that I don't trust Steph Curry, obviously, all those reasons that I've outlined, especially that he's not going to play enough. But maybe in a tournament you can get something big out of him. Sean Livingston's at 3,600. He had a big game against the Spurs, putting up 23 points at 3,600, which is great, but I don't trust it. The other guy to look at is Tyus Jones at minimum salary, if for some reason this game is a massive blowout, which it very well could be, and Sam Mitchell decides to sit Rubio, maybe 25 minutes come Jones's way, and he puts up numbers. So that's probably unlikely to happen, but just don't write it off. Klay Thompson at 7,000. I love him in this matchup here. He has the same risks as Steph, definitely, but he hasn't been playing that well. So I imagine they want to play him through a little bit more and hope that he has a decent night. At 7,000, he needs to get to 35 points. I think that is definitely in play. Brandon Rush's minimum salary. He'll likely start again with Andrew Bogut out. He didn't do much. But at minimum salary, he doesn't need to do much. Consider him, but in the end, probably don't use him. 6,100 for Zach LaVine. I think that's a really good spot for him too. He's averaging 32 across his last three. At 6,100, 30 points should be the right amount for him, so I'm fine with using him. Small forwards, Harry Barnes. He went back to doing nothing against the Spurs. He's at 4,300. The salary's down. The matchup is nice. He is a punt tournament option only. Andy Wiggins at 6,100. I wouldn't be using him at that price. He's averaging 31 across his last five games. Shabazz Muhammad, no thanks. Tayshaun Prince, Nemanja Bjelica, and Damian Rudej. No thank you either. Power forwards, Gorgui Dieng is at 6,500. He's been a solid 35-point guy across the last three, 34 across his last five. That's pretty solid production. Now, he's dealing with a bit of a sore hip. He'll likely play. He's played through it the last couple. He is an okay option. I don't think he's a superb option, but he's okay. Draymond, 8,100. It feels too expensive. It is a great matchup, but at that price, he hasn't even reached 40 points in his last five games. He's been solid between 37 and 32, but it's not 40. And at 81, you need him to reach 40. You need him to go over 40. And he's just not doing it at the moment. I don't think that he's a good option here. He's a tournament option, and that's it. Maurice Spates at 3,900. Did not play at all, really, against the Spurs. Only 11 minutes with Bogut out. He's got an opportunity to play some extra minutes here. So he at 3,900, he could go for 25. There's a chance of that, but I don't put much faith in it. At center, Karl Anthony Towns is at 8,800. No Bogut. What can he do? Yeah, he's got a chance for 50. I think that's a big opportunity for him to put up a huge line here. So Karl Anthony Towns, one of the better center players on the board. Anderson Varejao, nah, no thanks. Sacramento and Chicago. This is a great fantasy matchup on both sides. Both teams allow their opposition to put up big numbers. We could be seeing some crazy fantasy numbers here. The Bulls are favored by 6. The total is 219. Rajon Rondo's at 8,100. He was terrible today. 8,100's a lot. I probably would steer clear of him, but this is one of the better matchups. Same goes for Derrick Rose, who's now dropped to 6,700. Now, he has only exceeded 30 points once in the last five games. He's averaging just 28, and at 6,700, you need him to get to 33 or 34. If he's ever going to do it, this is the opportunity for him, and I don't imagine his ownership will be high. Darren Collison at 5,500, love him here. He had 32 today. 25 is an absolute lock, it feels like, and then he's got upside from there. So cash and tournaments for Collison is in play. Shooting guards. Not many high-priced shooting guards that I like on the board. Jim Butler's been struggling, but it's not a tough spot here. He's at 8,300. His minutes have not been high. He's averaging just 33 across his last three. But if there's ever an opportunity for Jim to bust out, it's playing the Kings. Marco Ballinelli, minimum salary. Don't care. Justin Holiday, minimum salary. Nah, he needs someone else to be out aside from Etuan Moore. James Anderson. No, he only played 2 minutes today. Tony Snell, Seth Curry, there's not a lot to love there. Small forwards, Rudy Gay. He's at 6,300. His production has been pitiful lately, but this is a really nice matchup. He is a tournament option. Nick Mirotic, 4,900. We saw when he gets big minutes, he can put up numbers. He put up 31 in the last game. There is no Pau Gasol for this one. So Mirotic at 4,900. Everything is screaming, look at him, look at him, look at him. But he's a real disappointment on a lot of times. And some of that is coaching. Some of that is on him. He is a guy that I'd look at in a tournament because he can go for 40, and that is not an exaggeration. Mike Dunleavy's doing nothing lately, and Omri Caspi's been surprising, but at 4,500, that salary is surprisingly high. Despite the good matchup, I don't think I'd use him. Dougie McDermott's also a tournament punt option. Willie Cauley-Stein, it doesn't get much better than a matchup against the Bulls' front court. He's at 3,700. George Karl has said he wants to feature him more down the stretch and play him more, but he's been sick. And do we trust George Karl? The answer to that is no. If we see that Cauley-Stein is playing and starting, you might get 26 or 27 points out of him, and that would make a massive difference at that salary. But it's a pretty big risk. Taj Gibson at 5,400, he was great in the last game. It's a great matchup here. I think he is a very, very solid cash or option. And Bob Portis at 4,400. He's been 25 average across his last three, which is actually higher than Taj Gibson's. I don't think many people would realize that. So is his minutes higher than Taj Gibson, but there is an injury involved there with Taj. I don't think I really want to use Bob here. Even if Quincy Acey plays over Cauley-Stein, I wouldn't be looking at him. Boogie, 11,100. He's playing the Bulls. He put up 59 today. 55 should definitely be in play for Boogie. This could be a destruction. Now, the problem is it's on a back-to-back, so maybe that is an issue for him, but I think 50 points should be almost locked in for Boogie at this point. His lowest score across his last five has been 46. That's pretty decent, and then you get to play the Bulls. Costa Koufos, meh. Cristiano Felizio, he might start as he started the last game, but that doesn't mean that we want to get all DFS in him. That sounded horrible, that phrase. What a bad phrase. Power forwards. Not power forwards. Try again. Washington and Atlanta. The Hawks are favored by 6.5. The total is 206. Let's look at the point guard battle here. Dennis Schroeder and Jeff Teague. I just can't trust either of those guys. Johnny Wall at 9,900. The Hawks have been fantastic defensively, so that is a bit of a concern with Johnny, but he's averaging over 50 in his last three. He's been carrying this team as best he can. If you're looking to spend up big on a point guard, it's hard to get better than Wall. I would love him if he was a bit lower. 9,500 would be ideal, so he's a little bit risky in this situation against this Hawks defense, who has been fantastic of late. Shooting guard, Brad Beal, 5,400. Don't mind using Beal here. Again, the Hawks defense is a concern, but 5,400 is not high, and he can go for 30 plus pretty comfortably, so he is a tournament play. Kyle Korver is only tournaments at 3,700, and you have to look at Tim Hardaway, who's at 4,100. There's been so much praise coming from Mike Budenholzer. He dropped 28 in the last game. He's averaging 23 across his last three. He's had a 37-point game in his last five when he started. There's a chance he plays minutes over a healthy Kent Bazemore as well. He is a tournament option at 4,100. Allen Anderson, Garrett Temple, Jarrell Eddy, Kirk Heinrich, none of those guys are really interesting to me. Small forwards, Otto Porter at 4,800. I think that he's a pretty solid guy to look at that salary. I don't think you're going to get massive ceiling, but I think his floor is going to be pretty good. Kent Bazemore, 45, no chance. He played 16 minutes in the last game. Thabo Sefolosha's out playing him. Tim Hardaway Jr.'s out playing him. He is not going to be on my radar. Now, Sefolosha is interesting. He's at 4,100. He had 32 in the last game. He's averaging 25 across his last five. He's doing it really, really well at the moment. I think that Thabo is a great tournament option here. Mike Scott, not getting enough minutes and not doing anything with him. Power forwards, Markieff Morris at 4,900. I really had to restrict myself from using him as a recommended play given the hatred of Markieff Morris and his inconsistency, but he's starting to look really good. And if he got 30 points here, I would not be surprised whatsoever. Paul Millsap at 8,000, one of the better high-priced power forwards on the board. He should be looking at close to 40 in this one. Nene, Chris Humphries, Jared Dudley, no love for them. Al Horford, I think that he is a good option here as well. 7,200 only. He's averaging 35 across the last three. He's got a high score of 42 in his last five. 35 should be really an interesting option for him here. Marcin Gortat at 62. I'd love it if we knew he'd play 30 minutes, but I can't trust Randy Whitman to do that, although he has done it in the last two games. That probably means there's going to be a 24-minute game coming up. You can look at Gortat in a tournament, but I'm not sure his ceiling is high enough to really justify the 6,200. Memphis and Phoenix closes out the night. Must-see TV, obviously, there. The point guard situation. Briante Weber has not had his second 10-day picked up, so he is gone from Memphis. Enter Jordan Farmer. Now, for you seasonal league players, Jordan Farmer is very, very interesting because he has shown that he can be a fantasy player. He is a better player than Ray McCallum. I would go almost as far to say that he is an equal player to Lance Stephenson. And if he can stay healthy, which he only has to do for 10 games here, he could be a standard league guy. I am not rushing to grab him, but when your competition is Xavier Munford and Ray McCallum and Lance Stephenson, the bar is not high. So let's just watch now. He's not available on FanDuel yet, so we can't use him. But let's just see what happens with Farmer and really get ready to make an ad on him if something happens here. Brandon Knight at 6,800. It just feels too high at that salary. He's an up-and-down player. He had 38 in the last game. It's not a tough matchup given the current state of the Grizzlies, so he's okay to use, but not ideal. Ray McCallum at 3,700 started the last game, played 35 minutes. But with Matt Barnes back, do they just shift Lance back to the one? I would say yes, so I don't think I'm going to use Ray McCallum here. Ronnie Price, no. And Xavier Munford, no. Shooting guards, Devin Booker. He is at 6,400. He dropped a nice 38 in the last game, averaging 31 across his last five. To me, he's a tournament guy. No trust for him in cash, but at 64, he's okay. Tony Allen at 4,700. I really like him as a cash game play here. He's averaging 23 across the last three. I think that he's got 25-point upside. Actually, he's got more than that. He's got 30-point upside. So I do like him, and it's a really nice matchup. Lance at 7,000 struggled in the last game. Is that something of things to come? I feel pretty confident about using Stephenson. Even though he's priced at 7,000, I think that I would roll him out again. Archie Goodwin, John Jenkins, no. Thank you. Small forwards, PJ Tucker at 4,400. It's been a lot better lately. He's getting more minutes and he's putting up more consistent numbers, but I'm still hesitant to use him. Matty Barnes is back after that suspension. 6,400 for Barnes. That salary feels high. Look, he can go huge, Barnes, but that just feels a little bit high for me. And Vince Carter at 3,800, I reckon he's a tournament play. He got 25 minutes in his first game back. They need his minutes. He's had a 35-point game within the last five games. He's a tournament play. Power forwards, I love Zebo. Yeah, he's at 6,900. He's going to carry this team. It's a beautiful matchup against the Suns. 35 points should feel like an absolute minimum for him. Mirza Teletovic at 42. Nah, probably not. He's been doing nothing. Alex Len at 66. He's been doing nothing as well, so won't be using him. And Jermichael Green at 61. I feel that that's right on where he's ceiling, so I don't think I want to use him at 61 either. Jarrell Martin, John Lua against his former team. He'd be interesting because his minutes have been creeping up and he's at 3,700. You could tournament John Lua and see how it goes. Alex Stephenson, Ryan Hollins, and Alan Weems are all a chance to play in this game. So that shows you the state of these two teams. At center, Tyson Chandler at 47 has been outplaying Alex Len, and I have to give him his credit for that. He dropped 39 in the last game. He's averaging 26 across his last five. He feels like a relatively solid cash game center. That's it for the centers. Let's now look at the DFS picks of the day. At point guard, Marcus Smart, 44. Rick Rubio, 68. And Ish Smith, 77. I don't think, is that right? Ish Smith, 7,700. That does not feel right at all. I think I've got the wrong guy in there. So let's go back and change that because I don't want Ish Smith to be at 7,700. How did his name get in there? I'm completely confused now. Just bear with me one sec while I bring that back up because that does not feel right. No, it's not Ish Smith. It's Isaiah Thomas. I completely mistyped that. I knew that it wasn't Ish Smith. Isaiah Thomas, 7,700. Shooting guards, Tony Allen, 4,700. Klay Thompson, 7,000. Jim Butler, 8,300. Small forwards, Thabo Sefolosha, 41. Evan Turner, 55. Kawhi Leonard, 8,700. Power forwards, Amir Johnson, 38. A real punt option there. Zach Randolph, 69. And Paul Millsap, 8,000. And the centers, Tyson Chandler, 47. Al Horford, 72. And Karl Anthony Towns, 8,800. Don't forget to use that promo code REDROCK on SeatGeek to show your support of the podcast and to sign up for a really brilliant product. That's it for today's show, guys. Make sure you're checking out Basketball Monster. You know all the great stuff we've got over there. Really hone your lineups for your playoff matchups. Use all your DFS stuff. Clean up some money at the end of the season. There's obviously some great stuff on Basketball Monster. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at @RedRock_BBall and Facebook.com/RedRockBasketball. Huddle Paroxysm, of course, the great hosts of this podcast as well. They've got tremendous articles that are going up there. There'll be some nice Spurs Warriors recaps over there, some March Madness stuff, heaps of stuff always happening at Hardwood Paroxysm. If you could leave a review for this podcast and subscribe on iTunes, it would be super helpful. So thank you to everyone who has done that. We are done here, guys. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.